What's up, guys? This is Uriah Faber, the California Kid, here with Greg Conley, serial entrepreneur, founder of Trifecta Nutrition. We're talking about everything under the sun, fitness, entertainment, and of course, business, making that money. What's up, guys? Uriah Faber here. Welcome to the CaliCast, talking business, entertainment, sport, nutrition, and everything in between. Always looking for new and interesting folks to be on the show. Today we have an awesome guest, but first, Greg Conley, my partner here.
What's up, guys?
Founder of Trifecta Nutrition, serial entrepreneur, and all-around fun guy.
I accept.
Yeah, Chico State grad, so that must have been fun.
I do what I can.
Yeah. But guys, today we've got Nick. He's created an incredible company, and it's real right in the realm with what we're all into here, which is fitness and nutrition, and it's pretty unique. It's RP, which stands for Renaissance Periodization.
Boom, nailed it.
There it is. So I'll let him get a little bit into what the meaning of that title is and kind of some of the cool things that the business is about. I mean, I'm a big fan and a proponent of collecting, you know, intelligent people to be a part of whatever I'm doing, and I know Greg's in the same boat. And it sounds like what you put together is pretty insane as far as the intelligent folks that you've built this company with. And why don't you give us a little rundown on you first off, where you're from, what you're all about, and then kind of a rundown about RP and how that came to be a big business.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for having me on, guys. Really appreciate it. Renaissance Periodization, we go by RP Strength because, like myself, most of the people can't pronounce it. So
that's, yeah, it's a little tongue twister there.
Yeah. That's why we just shorten it to RP Strength. That's probably how most people know about us from like Instagram. That's our handle on there, RP Strength. Real quick, my background, you know, just grew up in Michigan. Was always really big into sports, fitness, you name it. Was actually a runner growing up, which most people kind of are surprised by that. But yeah, I got started running. I went to the University of Michigan. It's actually where I met co-founder of RP, Dr. Mike Isratel. Him and I met in the weight room, of course. You know, no surprise there. A couple meatheads, basically, lifting weights, pumping iron. Yeah,
now,
man.
He's 5'6", 250?
5'6", 250. That's,
wow.
He's,
I'm almost 5'6", about 163 in the retired life. But just to put things in perspective, I'm a fairly stocky
getting
guy,
little,
so you
little
can
fluffy.
A little fluff. I went for a little run this morning, but 5'6", 250, that's a big stocky dude.
Yeah, he's probably about as wide as he is tall nowadays, something like that. Seems right.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. But he's the one that kind of really got me into competitive lifting. I think he first convinced me to do a powerlifting meet. I forget how far back that was. I don't know, 2007 or something like that. It's been a while. But yeah, he kind of got me started, and I started training with him in college, and things really just kind of took off from there. We both ended up as personal trainers in Manhattan, so that was pretty cool. You know, training like hedge fund guys, some crazy stuff like that. And from there, he went back to school to get his PhD. I stayed around in the city. And
what did he get his PhD in?
Sport physiology.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep, from East Tennessee State University. So it's a really good program. It's actually probably where about half of our coaching staff is from, something like that.
And on staff with you, I mean, how many doctors do you guys have? What's kind of the credentials of what you build? It's pretty impressive. We were talking before, you know, and how did you find all these people?
Yeah, so I think currently now the current running tally is 20 PhDs on staff. Is a lot of them are coaches, so they're kind of the brains behind everything. They write all of the ebooks, design all the products, all that great stuff. I just kind of run the business side of things with my wife. But yeah, so a lot of them were recruited from schools where my buddy Mike has either taught or went to school, and just kind of close friends and referrals like that. That's kind of how we've built the staff.
How have you interacted with the PhDs? I mean, these are doctors who, and I actually was involved with a little dental business, and part of my job was to recruit surgeons, and it was like kind of known that it was like a little air to them, and it was hard to deal with and whatnot. I mean, you run into many egos when it comes to the folks that have accomplished a lot in the intellectual world, or is it kind of even keel? I guess it kind of depends on the individual, but.
Man, lucky, I would say not really. It's actually, you know, we have a really interesting model because, you know, all of our coaches work remotely, so we actually don't really have an office. My wife and I both work from home, Charlotte, North Carolina. And yeah, our coaches are like spread out all over the country. So, you know, California, Washington, Florida, Arizona, North Carolina. It's actually just really interesting. And I think the cool thing is because they're really smart, you know, we kind of, you know, we don't have to like micromanage them or anything like that. So it works out really great.
Yeah. I mean, for us, the scientific background behind RPU is one of the big reasons we were super interested in partnering with them, you know, from the business side of the fence, because they're...
You're talking about Trifecta Nutrition.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're actually looking up studies, you know, the latest and greatest on sports nutrition science, that type of stuff. And that is honestly hugely important for us. And it takes a big staff of... you know, PhDs, RDs, MDs, et cetera, to be constantly staying up on the latest studies. Because there's, you know, we participate in some studies. There's new studies coming out all the time on, you know, when it comes to fitness and nutrition, and them being able to have that kind of intellectual capacity inside the organization has been a huge, you know, differentiator for us.
Yeah, that's kind of, I mean, that's a great marriage. You've got, you know, obviously we have some incredible people that are putting things together on the Trifecta side, but to have the other piece of that puzzle with a staff like that and an outreach like you guys have had. I mean, one of the coolest things, and we were going through it earlier, is like the actual results that people are posting themselves.
Right.
Went through picture after picture after picture of little soft in the midsection to abs, and it was like like that's the RP thing. You have people, you know, they get online and they're talking about how hungry they are, and I saw someone talking about asparagus and how their pee is going to smell for the rest of their life. But the same thing rings true. You see, you know, in not the greatest shape into, you know, fitness, you know, specimens. So that's got to feel good as a business owner. Obviously, you got into this thing for the right reasons. It's turning into an awesome business, but how satisfying is that, being a part of the journey of people feeling great about themselves?
Yeah, honestly, that's the best part. I mean, you really can't beat that. You know, I think we were talking earlier, and really it's way back in like 2012 or something. Me and Mike got started, and, you know, we liked fitness. We liked, you know, nutrition training, and we just wrote programs for like close friends and family, and that's how it got started. And, you know, the cool thing about social media is, you know, you get some people that get results, they share it online, and, you know, before you know it, people are like, hey, what'd you do? And, you know, it's just kind of how RP started spreading originally. And now it's kind of, you know, taken on a life of its own, with like its own Instagram page, with just before and afters, something like, you know, 2,500 or so on there.
That's killer. Yeah, I feel like, you know, people are always so curious about diets and nutrition. It's a massive part of the fight game. I mean, you know, there's always controversy about it. There's, you know, new methods and tricks, and they say the first fight is the fight to make weight and get on that scale. And it's important to really understand how the body works. And I mean, people ask me all the time, and I think there's some misinterpretations of how, you know, what health is, what diet is, you know, the importance of salt and electrolytes and all that kind of stuff, and the function of fibers and vitamins and minerals. I mean, there's all these different intricate pieces. You know, you could spend a lot of time researching and figuring it out yourself, or you could do a little cheat sheet and for an amazing price, or a good consultation, you can have somebody with the knowledge do it for you. And that's kind of the business that you guys are in, right? Was it started with ebooks? How did that the beginning part happen? It was actually an ebook that you launched, an RP ebook, and what went from there?
Yeah, so I guess it all kind of started way back in New York City when I was a personal trainer, and I just kind of quickly realized.
Shout out NYC, the Big Apple, baby.
Yeah, that's right, man. I lived there for like 6 years, so yeah.
People are rude over there sometimes in my experience.
Yeah.
I saw this one lady flipping out at the airport. She was like maybe 5'1", 94 pounds. And she stepped out on the street and just started screaming and cussing and flipping people off, and I'm like, is this fucking normal?
Yeah.
Man. They're like, welcome to Manhattan.
Yeah, totally, man. Yeah, welcome to Manhattan. I think what was I talking about? Yeah, just New York. I was a personal trainer, and I kind of realized that, you know, hey, I can only like train one person at a time, and to, you know, kind of make any sort of living, you got to work from like 5 a.m. to, you know, 9 o'clock at night, just busting your butt hour after hour. And sometimes I was having to travel up and down the, you know, subways to go to different clients and all that. And so when we started doing some online stuff, and it's really the idea of kind of like scaling your time, right? Like if you do everything yourself one-on-one, you're very limited in, you know, how many people you can help. And that's kind of what started to lead down the RP path of, you know, well, now we're just doing one-on-one coaching or whatever online. And then we did an ebook 2014, and all of a sudden that kind of took off. And instead of, you know, maybe 50 or 100 people you could help just by yourself, you know, that book can reach a couple thousand people. And then we thought, well, how do we take like the one-on-one coaching process, and how do we, you know, make that scalable for people? And that's what led to the diet templates. And that's just kind of really blown up ever since.
Yeah. And I mean, we always try and give like business tips on the show. That was really the genius behind RP that like differentiates them from so many of the other programs out there and stuff I try and pass on to, you know, other business owners, is like, if your business isn't scalable, if it requires you being there for mm-hmm. all the one-on-one interactions, you know, there's only so many hours in a day.
Right.
And at this point, you know, they have a computer system that's sending out just, you know, hundreds of thousands of these templates, and it, you know, it allows them to really scale the business in a meaningful way where they're helping, you know, huge, huge amounts of people worldwide at this point that, you know, normally wouldn't have been possible if they hadn't like thought through that process of like, hey, I can only train one fucking person per hour.
Right.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like I have to be able to find a way to have a computer train a lot of people. And that's when they came up with the templates. And that's,
yeah, I think that template idea is key, obviously. I mean, first book that I read out of college that was a business book was Rich Dad Poor Dad. And that's the whole thing is,
yeah.
you know, he was a big proponent of franchises, and he was a big proponent of, you know, figuring out ways to actually make a business. A lot of times people think they have a business when they've really created themselves a job.
Yep.
You know, if and the difference is, here's an example. Greg has Trifecta Nutrition where, you know, in this office here, we're, you know, there's 12 people out on computers manning orders, which goes to the kitchen in LA, which then ships out, et cetera, et cetera. And Greg's the figurehead behind finding the marketing, et cetera, et cetera. Versus one of these meal prep companies where one person's meeting people, making them meals, dropping the meal off at their house, et cetera. One's a job
yep.
that is its own business per se, and one's an actual scalable massive business. And same thing goes here is, you know, there's only so much you can do as a single person as you're meeting with one guy. But when you're able to grow it like that, it becomes real and allows you to affect more people. So, you know, don't get caught up in the make your own business when it's really just a job. If you remove yourself from the business and there's no plan to have it run without you sitting right there, that's kind of like a job.
Yeah, it's a job.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's got to be that scalability factor. And that's like a lot of the business speeches I give at UC Davis or Sac State or whatever, I try and like hammer that home so much because so many people do that. They're like, oh, I'm going to start my own business. And then they end up just, you know, creating a job for themselves. And yeah, you're still, you don't have a boss to answer to, but, you know, as a personal trainer, you're not going to make, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. It's not possible. There's only, yeah. you know, a few hours in a day type thing. So, yeah, anyways, I just want to make sure to hammer that home because that's like the huge differentiator with RP that's like fundamentally different than, you know, most everybody else we've talked to.
Yeah, quick story on that. Actually, when we first released the templates, it was something that I like personally sent out manually. And like, that's what you're talking about. Like if I wasn't there doing it, I mean, and it's, we were actually in the middle of a move from Manhattan down to Charlotte. And I remember, you know, we had to like pick out a house and we're spending hours, you know, going around looking at like 10, 15 houses a day. And then like you finally get home and it's like, you know, 10 o'clock at night, and then you have to like sit down and, you know, how many ever orders there were, you have to sit down and do all that stuff manually. And it's like, you know, that was 2015, like 2015 and 2016. I don't think I really ever stopped working. And I think 2017 was finally to the point where like, you know, I could actually do a little bit of stuff without like me having to be right there at the computer like every second. And it's been like the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah, that's cool. And I mean, a lot of great businesses start out in that model, and it becomes like a, you know, it's like, you know, like the evolution of beings. Like you start out here, and then a little tweak happens, a little tweak happens, a little tweak happens. But you have to have that bigger goal, and it's awesome that you guys are able to do that. And I think, you know, aside from having testimonial after testimonial that is just free content, free marketing, everything else, because people are so happy with the product, you know, you've now been able to grow and get involved all these PhDs and all these people that love what they're doing, what they're all about, and being able to affect. I mean, how's the culture of the company? I mean, is there a some things that you do that have kind of helped build that culture? Do you guys ever have end of the year banquets or give out special awards or spend time together, or is it a pretty spread out thing?
It's actually really interesting, and I think it's really unique about RP. I guess, like, I don't know, I always like to keep things probably as simple as possible. And, you know, I've actually, like, you know, messaged my buddy Mike before. I'm like, hey, like, what do you think about, you know, doing a summit or, you know, getting all the RP coaches or something together? And, you know, he's just like, no. Why? He's like, you know, you got people from all over, like, you know, they can do their stuff. So I think we're a little bit unique.
It becomes probably a meat market. What's the female to male ratio in there? That could be a...
Oh, they got a few women on staff.
Yeah, no,
that's what I'm saying.
Six or eight, something like that.
Yeah. All right.
Nice.
Have everyone bring a friend. That's the deal. Yeah. Bring your own beer. Protection. Use some protection. Yeah. RP babies in the future. That.
Do we have? Yeah. You know what? Actually, funny story enough.
Periodization clan.
So we have, you know, this like big Facebook group where, you know, you get your templates and stuff, and you join in the group and you can ask questions and, you know, interact with people all over the world. And I'm pretty sure there's been at least a couple like marriages. I don't know if we have any kids yet, but like people kind of met from like the RP Facebook group.
There you go.
Yeah, I know there's at least one or two marriages in there. So I don't know if there's any, you know, RP kids yet.
Yeah. So I got to give you the breakdown on this, cause this is awesome. We're super envious of how big they've gotten on this site. So the main Facebook group, when we joined it at Trifecta, had about 800 people in it. Now it's got 80,000. And it's branched off into like individual groups, like RP CrossFitters, RP Powerlifters, RP Bodybuilders, RP, you know, whatever it is. And one of them that is not sanctioned by RP now was RP and Chill, which was like, it was literally like a singles like forum, you know, that was like people that...
Really?
They get abs and then they hook up.
Oh, that is hilarious.
That's off the record though. We can edit this part out if we need to.
Hey, it is what it is, man.
Yeah, man. That group probably had, I don't know, a couple thousand people or something in it, maybe.
Yeah, it was pretty
and
big.
Chill. RP That's and chill. Great.
It was like, you know, they wanted to keep the main client group like focused on diet and nutrition and stuff, and people were like, "Hey, who wants to do a meetup in Dallas or Miami or Manhattan and all this stuff?" And they're like, "Okay,
yeah, this get together, you work out, meal prep, and
like everything." I bet you there's some. I mean, we've got all sorts of characters that find their ways into the gym to see to come watch practice, and we got a guy. There's a guy today who came in, and you know, comes in every 2 days, spreads the word of the gospel, puts his hands on people. His foot started hurting. For those who don't know, this last week I was in Singapore, and opposite side of the car is the steering wheel, opposite side of the road is the driver's, and I got my foot ran over.
Oh, Jesus!
Ended up not breaking, but it bruised all the way through, and I made a little Instagram video of it, and then it went on TMZ and did an interview on TMZ and this and that. And I came in this morning to practice, the first day in practice, and our boy was in there, the gospel man.
Is he like a homeless guy or something?
No, he just loves to come in and spread the word, you know, spread the good energy. He comes in, and he's been coming in for a long time, so it's just kind of ready. He brings in a trumpet and gets the energy going sometimes, but he's like, "I'm going to tell you, listen to me." He goes, "6 days ago, my foot started hurting." And I go, "Oh, well, I," and he's like, no, listen to me. My foot started hurting. And then I look on a TMZ and I saw you got hit by a car and I prayed and this and that. How's your foot now? Give me your hands. And we prayed and he's like, "Hey, Lord Jesus, thank you for putting your hands on the soul and healing our feet and blah, 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 and this and that." And You know, we get all sorts of awesome characters. Some more interesting than other, but
that's rad.
Yeah. So, but then we've had some guys, like, I guess there was a guy that was wearing a mask, sitting naked in the co-ed sauna the other day. It was on a free 3-day trial. we have, you know, fighters that come in that think they're going to make the big show, but there's a lot of great parts of the culture. You get some great guys like the gospel man that's there to do good, and then you got the naked guy running around with a mask on. And I'm sure in the RP world, some characters.
Yeah, give us a good story from the client group. I've seen a lot of stuff in the client group, but it's mostly like, oh, I'm tired of eating broccoli or something.
There's so much. You know, some people they'll like come in and they have like nothing to do with RP. I don't know really how they get invited, but they, you know, just start mouthing off, talking trash like about RP or like, you know, about someone personally. And we're like,
it's every world. Yeah. There's the trolls, haters.
Nice. Yeah, man, it's pretty crazy. You know, luckily the cool thing on Facebook is you can just like, you know,
delete.
Yeah, block them. They're out of the group forever. Yeah, I mean, do you have some in mind? I can't think of any off the top of my head.
No,
you don't want to put them on blast anyways.
I've seen a lot of jokes. I just didn't know if there were any like particularly hilarious ones.
Yeah, do you have any stalkers or anything that's, you know, there's been all sorts of interesting characters. I guess we're kind of in the limelight a little bit more, but I bet your partner, being a specimen 5'6", 250 pounds.
He's starting to get popular.
Challenging him, or ladies after him.
No. When you get into lifting like that, and
it's more dudes after you.
It's not like you're beating back the chicks, man. That's not how it works. No. It's all the guys, and definitely. You know, we have like a text thread going with a few of our coaches, and you know, we'll like screenshot or send along some of like the crazy messages. I actually come from like a bodybuilding background too, and you know, I have all sorts of like kind of crazy stories from, you know, Manhattan and that stuff. You just get messages from just like the biggest creeps in the world. I mean, you can probably imagine it. I'm sure.
Oh yeah. I know there's a bunch of creepos out there. Totally. All shapes and sizes.
Nice.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, anyways, we're getting a little off track here with the creeps, but you were actually telling us, I didn't know this about Team Alpha Male, but it sounds like you guys have a lot of people who are like big show now. I knew it was like more than 10 people. Yeah. It sounds like 24. It's grown.
You know,
people.
I really, we had a team sponsor come on, Mountain Lion Aviation, and their bigger company is Trail Runner, and the founder of both those companies is Jim Wilkinson, who's a really, really smart guy. He's a motivating guy. He's accomplished a lot in a short time. You actually had a chance to meet him at our EO group where he came and spoke, and everybody was kind of – I mean, we had some heavy hitters in our EO group, and everybody was kind of jaw-dropped at the knowledge the guy had. But he's been kind of instrumental in helping us grow quickly. You know, it was a brand-new facility that – it was kind of like, if you build it, they will come. And at this point, you know, we've got 65, you know, aspiring fighters. And, you know, we've got like 23 to 25 that are on the big show now, either on the Contender Series or Dana White's Looking for a Fight or actually in the UFC. And we've got fighters from all over the globe that are coming to be there. So it's a trip how, you know, a little bit of support can go a long ways. It allowed us to, you know, Mountain Lion Aviation, aside from being really cool that we have our own private planes that can take us to a pro on the West Coast.
Yeah. Doesn't hurt.
You know, he was nice enough to help us fund coaching staff and let some of the guys have a little breath of fresh air that were kind of volunteering time, and it's showed dividends, and the team's been kicking butt. I think this month we have like 14 guys that are fighting in the big show. You know, a big show. We have four guys in the same card in Boise, and then we've got you know, another couple guys fighting in August. We have the show's just growing. I mean, the team's just growing, so it's been awesome, man. And diet's a big part of it, so we should probably talk more about if there's something that we can do with the heavy hitters on the team, and then the developing guys as well, because you know, some of the most talented guys in our room nobody's heard of, you know, but they could use a little edge like that. I'd love to sit down and talk about it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, totally, man. Actually, a couple of our coaches are jiu-jitsu world champions, two females, actually, Dr. Jen Case and Dr. Melissa Davis. Actually, Melissa just got her black belt in like the last couple of days.
All right. Congratulations, yeah, Melissa.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, congrats.
Doctor with a black belt and a female, that's a dangerous combo, man.
Yeah,
that's
she's taken, though. I think.
Well, yeah. Well, there you go. So getting back to the RP stuff, she actually dates another RP coach.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Dr. James Hoffman.
Did they technically meet through RP?
You know, Mike would probably know the specifics there.
I think
we got to get him on the phone.
Yeah.
Let's get him on the phone. Just joking.
He was just in Singapore, too. Yeah, he was in Singapore and then Australia doing some seminars. So they've kind of been on like a little world tour. Three of them.
That's cool. You know, it's funny when you start to really understand jiu-jitsu. I'm a big fan of chess also, you know, just the jockeying, looking for openings and positioning, and that's just what it is. It's a human chess. So it takes away a lot of the athleticism and things that generally are super important in a sport. The mind is so important on the jiu-jitsu mat, like mm-hmm. body positioning, you know, how to take strength and use it in the right way and take someone else's strength and use it against them. It's a trip, and I see a lot of really intelligent people that love jiu-jitsu. I think it's cool that two of your doctors are females that are champion jiu-jitsu players.
Yeah, totally. I'm sure it's no coincidence. I just remember back in, you know, New York City when we were training at, a lot of those top guys, you know, they were into, you know, fighting and jiu-jitsu. So, I mean, it seems to probably make sense.
Yeah,
for yeah. sure. Yeah, it's actually something Jay and I were talking about in, I mean, I obviously try and apply it to the business, the kind of chess mindset with everything like, oh, we're partnering with this sports league, this, and this. You know, these athletes, these influencers, but there was a LeBron video where he was talking about how the Warriors are like a super team now, and you know, when it comes to sports, people think you know, that it's like talent and practice and all of that type of stuff, but he was like, you know, especially when it comes to stuff like jiu-jitsu where you're having to kind of outthink the opponent, but he was saying in his case for basketball, you know, it's very cerebral the way they have to be like anticipating what people on their team are feeling like, you know. And he's like, you know, people talk to me and they think, oh, you're LeBron, you're the biggest, you're the strongest, you're the fastest, you should just drive to the hoop and dunk every single time. And he's like,
there's a lot more to it.
Yeah, there's so much more to it. And it was actually Brian Ortega in one of his you know, post-fight videos. He was talking about, you know, I'm constantly trying to think about how am I going to lose? You know, you know, thought process is going to go through my next, you know, technique or move or this or that, that's, and I think it's a quote from one of the Gracies, but you know, he was really thinking about how he can outthink his opponent in the match, you know, to an extreme level. And I know you talk about the mindset stuff right. a lot, but it was almost like a, you know, a step beyond that where it wasn't him having like mental fortitude. It was like, he's playing like mental chess with himself,
like trying to advocate type of thing. Like if I do this, he does this, I do that.
Exactly. Yeah. He's trying to think 2-3 moves ahead. And you know, this was after a fight and he was like with Joe Rogan, like articulating this phenomenally well. And it actually reminded me of that LeBron video. So we watched both those videos back to back, but I think there's that, like the guys that are at the highest level of sport and business, they are thinking at that kind of cerebral level of like, you know, oh, how far can I push my team to execute hard? You know, what are things that are going to trip me up? You know, they're constantly like
self-assessment and adjustments. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like modeling out and, you know, thinking of like the mindset and adjustment and, you know, strategies, tactics, et cetera. They're going to help them win a jiu-jitsu match, you know, become the before and after king of Instagram, like Nick, you know, whatever it is, like the like yeah. the, you know, the steps that they need to go through, and then like deconstructing backwards from those steps. And I think that kind of like foresight and like, you know, being able to anticipate those type of moves is, I mean,
yeah,
obviously
it's a champion and winning mindset. Yeah, for sure. And yeah. I think, you know, the other thing, and you guys both understand this also, and we always talk about it, is the thinking big process. I mean, there's a lot of different ingredients for success, and I think people get that. Like, all the folks that I've met, I've met some really influential people, some really powerful people, some really rich folks, some accomplished athletes, accomplished actors and whatnot, and they've just knew it was going to happen, believed it was going to happen, which is a big part of it. Then have consistency and have that drive, get knocked down, get backed up, you know, back up, and all those things. One thing that I sometimes think gets overlooked is urgency. And go back to LeBron. You know, there's so many gifted, big, strong, gifted athletes, or fast, or whatever the gifts are. But the hard work is super important. And then a sense of urgency. And I've seen some great teams. And I remember a couple years back, I talked to the Kings. The Sacramento Kings came in and had a workout with us at the gym, Ultimate Fitness. And at the end of it, I talked about the urgency, you know. And we experience in business, like, we got to get it done. I've seen it in Greg so many times where he's, you know, thinking big, and then we got to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're, you know, outreaching a little bit here. We're going to take a leap and spend this money, but it's going to pay dividends. But having that urgency to grind and grind and grind. And Larry Bird is someone I always point to. Nice. Do you guys ever see Larry Bird? I mean, he's not the most gifted athlete, but the urgency that guy have, he would, like, risk his life to save a ball that's going out of bounds, to throw it back in the court, not even know if it's going to hit to his team or not, but just because he had that, like, sense of urgency throughout every game, and then he became one of the best. I think a guy like that, and I see it in the fight game also, I've got a guy on our team, Darren Elkins, who is just every practice, every moment is just a sense of urgency. He's trying to win. He's trying to win. And he doesn't have the most gifts on the planet, but he's setting records for how many fights that he's won, and he's beating guys that he's an underdog for. So that sense of urgency a lot of times is a champion and a success thing that people don't talk about, but it has to be there.
Yeah, you know? No, absolutely. And I mean, Mike Rashid, who we had on the podcast earlier, I talked to him about that sense of urgency quite a bit. And, you know, people will be like, oh, I'm going to build this business over the next, you know, 20 years and da-da-da-da. And I'm like, no, I want it, Trifecta, to be a big business, like, now. Not in 5 years, not in 15 years. You know, I don't want to be celebrating that we made it when I'm 60. You know, I'm already in my mid-30s. I turned 35 in, you know, a few weeks here. And, you know, I want it to be helping people now. You know, if you look at someone like, best example I always give on the business side is, you know, probably one of the most famous business people in the world is Elon Musk. The dude is 42 years old right now, yeah. 42, and he's running multiple multi-billion dollar companies. And it's because he has that extreme sense of urgency that he's like, okay, the planet's running out of time, or we need to get to Mars, or, you know, whatever it is. He's like, a fucking asteroid could come at any time. Yeah. We're only on one planet, you know, we need to do something right now. And that's, I don't know, it's something I'm, you know, personally super passionate about. And it's also, you know, I got a wife, like, she, you know, shout out to Kaya. She's
also a doctor, by the way.
Yeah.
And beautiful.
She's,
I don't know how this guy pulled it off, but, you know,
it's a goddamn miracle. I knock on
He's
wood
a salesman. That's why.
Yeah. But she, you know, she was like, okay, we, you know, we need the business to be a success, you know, very quickly. If we're going to, you know,
do this and this.
Yeah. Have kids, live the life we want to live, all this type of stuff. We don't want the uncertainty of, you know, oh, you're starting, you know, another company type thing. She's like, I want stability. And that for me was a huge sense of urgency for me. I was like, oh, yeah. Fuck, you know, I want to have kids before I'm, you know, 50. Like, let's do this. You know what I mean? So yeah, I think it's a great point.
Can you point to a time where the urgency was key and you're just like, okay, it's the grind. Is it happening
100%.
Now?
Yeah. So in fall of 2015, so we moved from New York City to Charlotte, and my wife had a really good job, so she actually, we moved in large part because of her job. She's got a great job at a law firm in Charlotte, and 6 months later, so after starting, she just wasn't her cup of tea. It just wasn't really what she wanted to do, and you know, there was a lot of kind of nervousness because I was trying to recruit her to come to RP, and that's one of those things where you go, you know, all eggs in one basket. And so we had, you know, we really sat down and kind of like weighed the pros and cons. And, you know, I think that was obviously a good thing because we had to go all in and there was really no other choice because she was giving up, you know, a very well paying job, you know, and we're kind of risking it all, so to speak. And, you know, this is almost 3 years ago. So it's, you know, hindsight's 2020, of course, but you know, it definitely had that sense of urgency. Like, you know, you can't kind of go one foot in and tiptoe around. It's like, no, you're going all in. You're going all in right now, and it's like, you can't fail.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I mean, Nick, we work with a lot of athletes and various other people, and like Nick is obviously, you know, one of the hardest workers in the room. I DM this guy on Facebook chat like all day long, and I'll message him. It's like 10 p.m. our time, which means it's like midnight or 1 a.m. at Charlotte, and he's like, oh yeah, we got that email coming up or this or that, you know what I mean? He's like always available and you know, moving things forward as quickly as possible, which I love as, you know, a business partner. I'm like, damn, this dude's on it all the time.
Well, I think that's one of those things where, you know, if you're trying to interact with somebody and you don't hear back for, you know, days or weeks, it's just like, it's something that actually drives me nuts. Like, it's my biggest pet peeve, especially in business. I don't personally understand it. I mean, I guess I kind of get it sometimes, but it's like, you know, if you want to be successful, like, how can you not be doing that stuff?
Yeah. So that's at the end of every practice, when I'm there in practice, I talk to my guys, and I've experienced that as a student and as somebody that was being coached in the past, the discussions that happen before and after a practice are just as, if not more important than the actual fundamental going through the practice. And something I keep pointing out to, and I'm going to keep pointing it out, and it's going to keep happening, is, you know, our team name is Team Alpha Male. I love that name. When I learned what Alpha Male was in this nature world, it's somebody that rises to the top of anything, whether you're a ballerina or a businessman or, you know, school teacher, there's someone who becomes the best, gets awards, you know, affects the most people, etc. And in our room, there's so many people that love to pour me themselves. I don't, you know, so-and-so's not giving me enough attention. Coach didn't want to do, you know, they're always working with this guy or whatever and blah, blah, blah. And there's always a poor me, and then there's always the hardest workers. And we don't decide. It's funny because it almost seems like we decide who's going to be the stud, but really what's happening is the stud is drawing the attention of all the people that want to help out, and they can identify, like, this guy's doing the right things. So I'm like, look, guys, we're not choosing who stands out and who's the best person in the room. That's Mother Nature. That's an internal thing. That's somebody deciding, hey, I'm going to rise to the top of this room. And game recognized game. You know, hard work gets rewarded, and the best guys end up getting the best resources, the best, the most attention, and have the most success. And it's a completely internal thing. Some people are putting in the work and having the results, and some people aren't. Some people are putting in the work and not getting the results right away, but if they continue put on the work and put in the work and put in the work and put in the work, you know, they're getting to where they need to be. Mm-hmm. And where they need to be may not be where they want to be, but it's a lot better than if they were, you know, half-assed and whatnot. So I remind the guys every day, hey, guys, we don't choose. We're not choosing who's the next stud in here. We're not choosing who's the next champ. What you've done in the past, what you've done in the present, what you plan on doing, you know, today matters. And, you know, make each day your best day, but, you know, write your own ticket. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the same with business. You know, you're grinding, and you're either gonna overcome adversity, and you're gonna push through, and you're gonna find another way, or, you know, you're gonna feel sorry for yourself and poor me it. You know,
actually, kind of reminds me of I just saw it the other day on Instagram, but there was a video of Kobe Bryant. He was being interviewed after probably, like, you know, game two of, you know, one of the NBA finals. Whatever year, you know, he was in so many, but they're asking him, they're like, Kobe, you don't seem very happy. And he's just like, what's there to be happy about? It's like, it's not over yet. You know, they hadn't won four games. They'd only won like two or something like that. I think that's just that mindset, because, you know, it's talked about all the time. Like, him and Michael Jordan were like, you know, the hardest workers you'll ever find. Like, what, you know, some guy like comes into the gym, you know, and like Kobe knows he's going to be there or something. So you better believe Kobe's there before him. It's just that mindset that you want to be the absolute best. And it's that uber competitive drive. Like, not everyone has it.
Yeah, and I'm a big proponent of celebrating too, but, you know, you celebrate victories, obviously. We celebrate victories all the time when you have a little victory. There's some people, and I've seen it, and I talk about one guy in particular, who are celebrating they're like just doing things so they can celebrate, and they way overdo the celebration. And it's like, you have to remind them, like, hey, that wasn't the goal. The goal isn't to win one fight against a guy you knew you could beat. The goal is to be a world champion, or a goal is to do this, or goal is to do that. Some guys will take a celebration and go celebrate before they've looked at the big picture. And then I've got some guys, Kaleo Romero, he's one of our young up-and-comers that everybody will know eventually. But, you know, wins a big fight, as long as he's not injured, he's in the next day. Mm-hmm. And he's in all day the next day, and he's in the next day the next day, because his goal has nothing to do with winning a small fight on an Indian reservation. It has to be the best guy in the room, and it has to be a world champion and this and that. And I'm sure he had a day of celebration, but another guy, he was, and I talk about this all the time, he was scheduled to have a tough fight in his hometown, different state than California. He went back to his hometown, and he was going to be a main event for this fight. And the guy he was supposed to fight, who was a tough opponent, it was going to be a good test for him and get him a little bit closer, had to pull out. So they put in a chump that didn't even belong in there. They just got somebody to fight. They call him a can or a fish. They tossed him an easy fight. And he goes out, knocks the guy out real quick, and the celebration, like, didn't stop. He threw himself an after party. Then he went on a trip to the river with his best friends. And then next thing you know, it's been almost 2 months of celebrating, and he comes way back, and I'm just like, what are you celebrating, dude? Like, you could have beat that guy with one hand, and it gets you nowhere close to where you want to be. Like, what is this celebration about? Like, you know, I have to reassess your goals. You know, I'm like, at what point do you realize that wasn't what we're trying to party for, you know? And I think a lot of times people who want things but don't understand what it takes to get there spend a lot more time celebrating than they do with grinding, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's funny sometimes, but it's also sad sometimes, you know?
Yeah. No, I totally get it. It actually reminds me of we had a New York Times bestselling author come out and talk about this book that he had written. It's called the 12 Week Year, and they do a lot. Like, one of the guys in our EO group, like, brought all these sabers so you can like celebrate and like cut off the tops of champagne bottles and all of that type of stuff. And it was the idea of celebrating at the end of a 12-week block, like compressing your year down into 12 weeks. But we were talking about this earlier, it's periodization, which, I honestly, I want to make sure we get you to kind of explain that.
That's the P and RP.
Yeah, it's the P and RP. And I'm like becoming a firm believer that you can apply it to pretty much any aspect of your life. Because when it comes to like the way the human mind works, we like to work in like small enough chunks that we can, we can wrap our heads around it, whether it's leading up to a fight or whether it's, you're doing some, business endeavor, or you have a weight cut or, mass or something like that, like breaking things down into, I think a 12 week is about as far as people can actually go. A 12 week block is hugely, hugely effective, because otherwise in business, especially business, it's the most competitive game out there. It's 24/7, 365 forever. And if you don't break it down like that, you're in a situation where, you're not able to really execute in a short period of time, which goes back to the sense of urgency. Periodization creates urgency. So yeah, I wanted you to talk a little bit about periodization itself and how the concept, works with diets or, massing totally. Well, or whatever it is.
I mean, you basically just summed it up there, really, because you talked about like the 12 weeks. You know, there's a reason that if you're going to go on a diet to lose weight, it's not a year-long thing, right? Like, you can't just continually lower and restrict calories like that. Like, it has to be for a couple months at a time. What happens if you're trying to diet for 5 or 6 months? At some point, you're going to burn out. You're going to crash and burn, you're going to rebound back. So that's kind of the idea of periodization as well, is like you use one set phase to kind of logically set up the next one. So it'd be like if you had a fighter trying to, take that, fight cap fight camp mentality and apply it like year all round.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I'm sure there's some.
Yeah, you're going to lose muscle. You're going to, you know, hurt yourself, et cetera. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's really the whole concept of periodization is you kind of know there are certain time periods where you're going to go maybe a little bit harder or have a very specific goal. And then you use that phase, accomplish what you need to right then. And then you kind of get back to, you know, more normal.
Mm-hmm.
It would be, you know, in business, it would be like trying to, you know, launch a new product like, you know, every week or every month. Like sooner or later, you know, people are just going to be like, all right, whatever. And so it's like, you know, you can only do that. You know, you can only go to the well so many times, so to speak. So that's kind of the whole idea of it.
Yeah. No, I think it's genius. And it like gets people to psychologically like trick themselves too. Because 12 weeks away is like close enough you can see the light at the end of the tunnel type thing. And I think it applies in business too. Like a quarter is like a short enough period of time for people to conceptualize, but if you're like, oh, this is what we're going to accomplish this year, you get all the way to like March, April, etc., and people can be like,
yeah,
you know, yeah, I got all fucking year to accomplish this, you know,
procrastination 101 on that, like, oh, a year, I got a lot of time, and we all know time freaking flies, but
yeah,
exactly. Time flies when you're having fun, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Or working ridiculously fucking hard.
Yeah, fun. Hopefully both. Yeah, mm-hmm. But yeah, it's the same thing for setting goals. I remember I used to have all sorts of goals. I'd have short term goals, mid term goals, long term goals. The short term was more like a to do list and this and that, and like it was like getting in depth. And I went to a sports psychologist and basically like had to whittle that down a little bit. You know, it's almost like the periodization, it's the same mentality where you're going and doing all this different stuff for, you know, just doing it versus being more tactical. And it's like mapping versus stumbling, like just going head down and running or seeing where you're going to go and go here to there to there to there. And I had to change that up a little bit. It was like, how can you focus on all these different things when you have this goal and that goal and this this thing versus like, you know, a goal that is a output goal and a goal that's an input goal. The output goal is something you can't necessarily control, but, you know, is the big vision and big thought process, big thing you're dreaming of. And then the input stuff that is the day-to-day.
Right.
You know, I'm gonna get up at 6 o'clock and run a mile. Then I'm gonna make 6 phone calls or whatever the deal is. Versus, I want to be president of the United States of America. You know, you can't control that. There's other people that are running for the president, and you can't make sure that everybody votes. You know, be over their shoulder and tell them to hit the vote button. But you can do the things along the way to get there. You know.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, if people see those before and afters, and let's say it's a year or even sometimes 3 months, but they kind of see that A to B, but they don't see, you know, hey, that person that got those really great results, guess what? You know, every day for 90 days, let's say there's 5 meals a day, that's 450 meals. They're being consistent every day over that. Or if they do mess up one little time here and there, you know, one meal out of 450, like what is that? It's not even a tenth of a percent. So it's like people see kind of those A to B end results, but they don't realize that there's an A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you know, every single thing in there to build up to every single day. Consistency leads to those big results.
Yeah. And they occasionally see the person like post a donut on Instagram and they're like, oh, they got great abs eating the donut. And you're like, oh my God, that's, like, yeah, you didn't see the,
like 1.1% of, you know, what they're actually,
yeah, exactly. They had like 400 other meals that were like chicken and broccoli that they didn't post.
Those
on Instagram.
Don't get the likes on the gram.
how important do you think that is that people don't cut out all the things that they love just in your expertise? Because I feel like I remember I almost poisoned myself in college. I was, you know, we had to do something called a scratch weight weigh-in. It just made this rule that you had to weigh scratch weight, you had to be hydrated, et cetera, to be able to qualify for your all 4 years of wrestling. Because some people had died the years prior trying to cut weight, and they're doing a one-hour weigh-in and this weight regulation. And so I was on, like, the most strict diet ever, trying to get this one weight that I had to make one time in 4 years to be able to wrestle 133 pounds. And it's actually a really funny story. I, you know, our team was doing all sorts of stuff to raise money for the team. And one of it was working with the college football, like, squad that pumps people up and everything. And so our team was, like, throwing out buckets of candy and, like, you know, throwing T-shirts into the crowd and stuff like that. So I here I am starving, like starving, just drinking, barely eating any calories, doing this one weigh-in for the rest of my career, and I've got this big bucket of candy that I'm, like, having to throw out to people, and I'm like,
Dude, you're probably throwing it like 90 miles an hour, right? Like just looking at it.
And then I snapped and had like one Tootsie Roll and just started I couldn't stop myself. I was like, you know, just shoving candy. And I literally, my roommates thought I was drunk. I like poisoned myself with sugar. I had like bloodshot eyes. I like was like all, you know, out of it. And I slept for like 13 hours and that like poisoned my body.
Yeah, basically like a carb coma.
I just like put my body into shock. How important is it that you do keep the things that you that are craving and don't like go crash, you know, crash diet?
So there's a couple different ways to look at it, right? So the whole idea of like flexible dieting is you kind of know like the amounts of food that you have to eat and you have a wide variety of foods to choose from. Now, certainly there's, you know, particular trade-offs, right? Like if you're going to eat a donut versus, you know, chicken, broccoli and rice, like one's going to keep you fuller for a lot longer. One, you have that donut, you know, 30 minutes later, you're going to be starving. You're probably going to be pissed off and or you go into a carb coma. So like that's, you know, one way to look at it. You take a very flexible approach. And for a lot of people, they really love that. You know, the only kind of downside to that is if you go more like, it just kind of depends on the way you define things, because flexible dieting is very similar to if it fits your macros. You know what that is?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like some people, if they have that one donut, leads to two donuts, leads to four, leads to like you said, they've eaten a whole bucket of like Tootsie Rolls and they're gone.
Pouring donuts all over your face, taking a bath in a bunch of donuts.
Yeah, yeah. So it's
swan diving in a pool of donuts.
For sure. I got to do a seminar later tonight, and the example I always use when talking about, you know, flexible dieting and fits your macros is like, do you know anyone that can eat just one Oreo if they sit down? Like, I don't know. I personally can't, right? It's either might be a good idea not to have them, you know, not to keep them in the house, or like if I have one, chances are I'm going to eat two or like four. Mm-hmm. Or like before you know it, that whole row is gone. You're like, damn it, what just happened?
Yeah.
So. I think it's important for a lot of people, but another, I guess, you know, important thing to talk about is goes back to the, you know, concept of periodization. So if you're going to commit to a cut, you know, why not commit and be pretty strict? Because you know it's only for that set period of time. It's not like you're trying to diet for 6 months or a full year. It's only for 8 or 12 weeks. And if you can be strict for those 8 or 12 weeks, chances are you're going to get those really cool results that you see online. Versus some people, they like to, you know, maybe they'll diet pretty hard Monday through Friday. Saturday comes, they're out with their bros or whatever, kicking back, eating pizza, drinking beer. Same thing on Sunday, watching football or whatever. And then at the end of the week, they're at kind of like a net zero, right? They didn't lose any weight, but they spent a lot of time and effort, right? So dieting's not easy. It's going to kind of be taxing. So Monday through Friday, they're being pretty strict. Saturday, Sunday, they're just doing whatever. The end of week one, they're the same. And then a lot of people just end up repeating that cycle. And then they get pissed off and they just stop trying to diet altogether, because guess what? You know, they've been trying to diet for months, but they're not really dieting. They're not really lowering calories to lose weight, but they still have that, you know, like diet psychology fatigue build up trying to diet. So it's like, do it, right? So we always tell people, if you're going to, you know, try to cut, like just pick a time period. It's that periodization idea and do it.
Yeah,
because dieting to lose weight is not sustainable by definition, because you have to lower calories. But maintenance, just trying to maintain, you know, live a normal life, go out and, you know, get some pizza or whatever with your friends, family, girlfriends, you name it, that is sustainable.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I always, you know, like I said, diet's been a massive part of, as a wrestler through high school and college, then into the fight world. I mean, basically 20 some odd years of having to you know, ebb and flow through making weight and everything else. And also, I come from a really health conscious background. You know, my parents were like, you know, super hippie back in the day, you know, olive oil instead of butter and honey instead of sugar and wheatgrass juice and ginger and garlic and you know, apple cider honey, vinegar water drinks, all this weird shit, right? Bee pollen and royal jelly and, you know, superfoods galore.
Were you doing that stuff like when you were in high school and all that?
My whole life.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. But that being said, my mom was not a nutrition major. She was a health food person. So understanding the functions of food versus healthy living is two different things. Healthy living is to help you live longer, be, you know, for sure, make sure your body's functioning correctly. And then there's eating as an athlete where, and it happens all the time. I used to go on Carmichael Dave. He's my buddy, local, you know, radio personality. And I'd come in and do his show, and I'd had practice all day, and I'd have like a big burrito, chicken, black beans, rice, fresh salsa, cheese. And he's like, "You're eating a burrito?" Like, he thought it was unhealthy. And I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "I can't believe you eat burritos. Like, it was a bad thing." And I'm like, there's a difference between what people think is healthy and actual losing weight. You lose weight, it's a deficit of calories. You burn more than you bring it in. And eating healthy is the quality of food that you're eating, et cetera. You could eat horribly, but work out more than you took in, and you're going to lose weight. Mm-hmm. And you could eat, and you could be putting on weight and be way healthier. So people get so wrong about, you know, what food is about, what health is about, what weight loss is about. It's all different.
Yeah, I mean, we get it all the time. I could probably go on for about an hour, but you definitely have to make a distinction between, are you trying to eat for athletic performance and to be your very, very best, compete at the highest of levels, or are you trying to eat for longevity and health? They cross over quite a bit, but they are not the same. And right. So we actually ran into this, you know, with some athletes and trying to explain that, like, hey, guess what? There are times where you actually want to eat sugar. It is going to help benefit your performance.
And fat.
Yep. And yeah, all that stuff. And it's just this like kind of clean eating mindset where, you know, like you said, they don't understand that. Well, it's like, no, I'm specifically doing this. I'm putting in input X to get out output Y.
Exactly.
I'm doing it for a reason. And it's like, there's a big wall to try to knock down. And we've seen a lot in like the CrossFit because people are so caught up in the, you know, you got to eat so clean, eat so healthy.
Yeah, when you really need some fat and sugar.
Yeah, it's a detriment to your performance at specific times, right? It's okay to eat like that, I don't know, 90% of the time if you want to. That's totally cool. But there are certain times, especially around performances, around competitions, where guess what? It is actually better to eat some of those quote-unquote lower quality foods.
Right, and that's the thing. My mom, I remember, you know, I was a freshman in high school, and I was about 108 pounds, and I was wrestling 112 pounds. I was lean and everything else. And I wanted to make 103 pounds and cut weight. So I did it. I cut the weight one tournament, and my mom, being a health nut, loads me up with all sorts of stuff that's healthy to recover, when all I needed was
some calories,
you know? So she's got me wheatgrass juice and all this stuff. It was the worst I've ever felt in a competition. I made this weight. I hadn't even hit puberty yet. Cut, you know, I'm lean, I'm ripped. I cut all this weight, and then I'm reloading with like Bepon and wheatgrass juice and vinegar and feeling like I got hit by a truck, you know? And I mean,
Did you puke?
I didn't puke, but I didn't do very well. I mean, technique trumps all. I wasn't that good at that point anyways, but you know, I was definitely looking for an edge to go down and be stronger, and I was weaker because I was eating healthy, but I wasn't eating as an athlete. So it's funny when you try to explain this to some people, because people don't get it a lot of times. And that's the same thing with calories. Like, the reason why there's obesity in America is because inactivity and a lot of processed foods. But there was a time when processed foods made a lot of sense because people didn't have money during the economy was down, the World War II and the recessions hit. People needed white rice. White rice was better than brown rice because you got more energy from white rice. You know, it was, you know, the benefit of a brown rice is you get the fiber, you get the vitamins, the minerals. The benefit of white rice is it's just a chunk of energy.
It's
so
cheap, right?
Yeah, it's cheap energy. And so there was a time when processed foods was saving the day, but people were working their asses off every day doing construction and eating that kind of food. So, you know, people don't understand. There's a lot to be learned about nutrition. That's why, you know, RP can do the work for you. You know, you can have 26 doctors that know their stuff and then specialists that have been doing it for a long time that, you know, help you overcome the stupid of not having enough time to educate yourself. So I appreciate your business. I think it's an important part of life. You know, there's the brain, which is very important. The second most important thing, in my opinion, is the gut, right? The gut is you know, your second brain when it comes to health and wellness, and you guys are taking care of that. So we appreciate you coming on. Is there anything else you'd like to touch on? How can people find you?
Yeah, so most people, you know, again, the whole Renaissance periodization thing's kind of a bear to type out. So on Instagram, RP Strength, that's probably how most people know about us. And yeah, you know, we sell ebooks, templates, and one-on-one coaching. So we really kind of have something for everybody, whether you just want to spend a little bit and kind of learn yourself, do it all yourself, or, you know, the templates, you get all the information, you still kind of run it by yourself. And then if you're really unsure, want some added extra accountability, go with one-on-one coaching. Can't really beat that.
Nice.
Greg,
got anything for the folks at home?
No, just excited to have Nick on here finally. That, you know, RP's been arguably our biggest partner since we launched the company. So
nice.
They're actually responsible for us launching the a la carte line, which is, you know, designed to kind of perfectly match their templates. But at the same time, for anybody who's trying to eat by macros, you know, it's really what we send people to, specifically with athletes. It's what you eat. It's what I eat. It's what Nick eats. Yeah. So yeah. All of us are all eating the same thing. And yeah, it's a.
I mean, there's no coincidence. It's great food, and it's awesome that you guys are able to work together so well and do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should set a goal, since you talked about having some sort of conference. Maybe we set a goal of where you're going to get for business, where we're going to get with Trifecta, and where I'm going to get with Team Alpha Male in the gym. And maybe we hold a joint party, possibly at Greg's new pad in Davis, which
is
going to be the spot, you know, this next year to celebrate.
I'm trying to see if I'm going to get a tour of that while I'm out here.
So. Yeah, no, let's do it. We're about to wrap this thing up, so maybe you guys head out there. But you know, set some goals, hit some benchmarks, and let's have a party.
Yep. Love it.
Hey, thanks for coming, dude. It was
awesome
talking, man.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yep.
Greg, another good day. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Tune in next time.
Thanks,
guys. CaliCast.